Church, I just want to just say thank you again to Pastor Paul in front of you for allowing me to, from time to time, come and occupy this pulpit area and to be a part of sharing the Word of God with you. And I do mean it that way, just sharing the Word of God with you. Not that I am enlightening you or bringing anything to your attention because of my great wisdom. It is merely you and I journeying together and seeing what the Holy Spirit of God is going to reveal to both of us. The only advantage that maybe I would have is that I have spent a few days or a couple of weeks in this case looking through that passage and studying and researching, and that maybe is about the only advantage I may have coming into this passage, and many of you probably have already done that with this passage. Well, we're still in 1 Peter, and we're still in 1 Peter chapter 1, and we have not made it past verse 9, and we've been here for over a month, haven't we? How long has it been? Maybe close to 6 weeks now, and we are still there, and it is good, because God is revealing some things in those words, not only just in the phrases, but down to the individual words to us that I have to admit to you that I just did not know was there at all. It would seem that the theme of the Bible tends to be, or at least it gravitates toward one premise or one common thesis: the sufferings of Christ and the glories to come. Have you noticed that? Our pastor, when he got back from Haiti, I remember him saying one thing. He said, while I was there for those 19 days, he said, and please, Paul, correct me if I'm wrong or if I get the details of this wrong. You read through the New Testament 9 times? 3 times. 3 times. Okay, see, that story just keeps getting bigger and bigger. 18 times, right? Every time, yeah, once every 6 hours, right? 3 whole times through the New Testament. How many of us have taken 3 years to read through the New Testament maybe once, right? But during those 19 days, 3 complete times. And one of the comments that Pastor Paul, and please again, feel free to correct me if I'm wrong on this, Paul, was that he began to realize how much the New Testament was all about suffering and trials. That theme permeated throughout the entire New Testament, through the Gospels, obviously through those epistles, those letters, and the richness of the prophecy that lies in the later books of the New Testament. Suffering. The sufferings of Christ and the glories to come. Wow, perhaps it would be better to say that it's sanctified suffering, right? Suffering for a purpose, for a reason. Not just suffering for the sake of suffering, just because we like pain and it feels so good, but sanctified suffering. Now listen, I realize that for most of us, when we see a bad day coming, we do whatever we can to steer clear of it, right? When we see conflict, when we see someone that we know holds conflict for us, we pretend not to see them and bow our head and walk down a different hall or move in a different direction, and we try to avoid that pain. And honestly, I suppose rightly so in a lot of ways looking at that. I mean, who wants to drive down the road making an effort intentionally to hit every single pothole as they're driving down the road? What do? We see a pothole, we avoid it. We steer a little bit to the left or to the right. We avoid those. But every now and then, one of those potholes catches us off guard, and we nail it, don't we? And we feel it, don't we? And we know our car feels it too, right? What I want to do this morning is I want to encourage you, as we're going through three verses in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10, 11, and 12, which we'll read here in just a few moments. What I want to do is I want to encourage you not to waste the trials and the suffering and the potholes in your life. I want to encourage you not to waste them. Brother, this morning as you were sharing your testimony, I was thinking, wow, You said that sometimes people say, well, would you have changed all of that, all of the things that you went through in your life? And you said, you know what? If it wouldn't have been for all of those things that I went through in my life, I wouldn't be who I am today because of how God intervened. And you know what? That's the right answer, right? These trials and this suffering that we go through in this life has a purpose, and God uses it. Oh, does He desire to train us and equip us without any of those trials and potholes? I'm sure He does. But He also realizes, because He's wise, that we need those potholes, right? And what does He do? He uses them to steer us back right to Him, right to Him. So I want to encourage you not to waste those trials and the suffering and the potholes by avoiding them or covering them up. But when you do hit them head on. Okay, now, understand what I'm not saying, please. I am not saying that a Christian needs to be sadistic, seeking pain, and looking for the worst possible route in life so that you experience this pain and somehow you are noteworthy or you are counted worthy as being a sufferer for the cause of Christ. I am not saying that. What I am saying is, if you are a believer and you are a follower of Christ who suffered Himself, you will also encounter those suffering events. You will be plagued, as it were, in a positive way, with those events in your life. Things are going to happen. It's going to happen. It's going to happen to you. First Peter, especially chapter 1, as I can see, has the same basic concept, doesn't it? It's just that. Those of us who are united in Christ through this salvation that we know will suffer. We will suffer. And as did Christ, right? Don't refuse to gain from that suffering. Don't refuse. There's something that we will benefit from in the midst of that suffering. Because Christ has already suffered and gone ahead of us. So I guess the real question that we need to ask ourselves is this. What is it? Have you asked yourself that question? What is it? Let me ask again. What is it? What is it that you're going through right now, whatever type of suffering or whatever type of trial that you are going through right now, today, this very minute, that God wants so badly to use in your life to draw you to Him? I bet it came to the forefront of your mind as soon as I said that. We are all going through something right now, aren't we? What is it? Charles Haddon Spurgeon said the following. I'd heard somebody say something that Charles Spurgeon had talked about the trials and the suffering, and I heard a preacher say this one time, so I started looking and searching the internet, and I thought, how am I going to find this one quote that I know I've heard somebody say about Charles Spurgeon and trials and suffering? And so I found this website, unbelievable, that is all it is devoted to the quotes of Charles Haddon Spurgeon. And I thought, well, I'll be able to find it easy. You know, there'll be maybe 100 quotes or something like that. Literally thousands of quotes. They're all alphabetized and scripture aligned, and you can look up by whatever type of reference. And I'm thinking, holy smokes, how in the world did somebody make that many quotes that are usable throughout their lifetime that somebody was willing to categorize? So I looked through, and unbelievable, how many quotes about trials did he make? Hundreds, hundreds. I'm thinking, how am I going to find this? So I said, Lord, You got to show me this quote. And within the first two or three quotes that I read, there it was. There it was. Amazing. He said this: none of us can come to the highest maturity without enduring the summer heat of trials. None of us can come to the highest maturity without enduring the summer heat of trials. As a sycamore fig never ripens if it be not bruised, as the corn does not leave the husk without threshing, and as wheat makes no fine flour until it is ground, so are we of little use till we are afflicted. Why should we be so eager to escape such benefits? Why should we be so eager to escape such benefits of being afflicted? Church, let God use the trials and the suffering in your lives for His benefit and for you and for yours. So I guess the question, expanded out might be this. I believe it's worthy of our answering this question today. What kind of suffering are you in the middle of right now? And how does God truly desire to use that suffering and show Himself faithful in it? So would you with me turn to the letter of 1 Peter, and if you will follow with me beginning in verse 8, which will lead us into verse 10, 11, and 12. Starting in verse 8. And though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And though you do not see Him now, but believe in Him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible, full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. Verse 10. As to this salvation, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come to you made careful searches and inquiries. Verse 11, seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating as He predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. Verse 12, it was revealed to them, the prophets, that they were not serving themselves but you in these things, which now have been announced to you through those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit, sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. Let's pray. Father God, we ask simply, Lord, that You'd use the reading of this word this morning to teach us. Father, would You reveal to us, Lord, what Your will is that we know and we see about this. Help us to apply it to our own lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, let's look back at verse 10. See that phrase that says, as to this salvation. What is he saying when he says, as to this salvation? Peter is obviously referring back to what we have taken painstakingly the last 6 weeks, right, to look at so much in detail. The salvation of our souls. Look at verse 3. What does it say in verse 3? He says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. What does it say in verse 5? Who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation, right? Ready to be revealed in the last time. Protected, of course, we found, Pastor Paul helped us understand, kept, being kept, right? By the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. And look at verse 9 then. Obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. Obtaining as the outcome of your faith. Is this an effort that I've decided today to have faith so that I can be saved and spend eternity with God in heaven? Did we come up with that on our own? Absolutely not. It was revealed to us, right? What does it say in verse 3? Again, these are just reminders. He caused us to be born again. Were we wise or smart enough to realize that we needed saving?
No.
We're not. He revealed it to us, just as he did to Peter himself. Flesh and blood did not reveal that Jesus was the Christ. God in heaven, Jesus tells Peter, was the one who revealed that to him. Peter is obviously speaking in reference when he says that first phrase, as to this salvation, specifically about verse 3, verse 5, and verse 9. But listen, even more broadly, Peter is speaking about what the prophets, Old Testament prophets, had foretold. Specifically, Isaiah 53, Psalm 22, which we read just a portion of a while ago, Psalm 2. The suffering of Christ and the glories to come. The sacrifices of the Old Testament, or the system of forgiveness in the Old Testament, we see was a picture of sacrifices of animals that was temporary and had to be renewed on a regular basis. The prophets were writing that Peter talks about, and we'll look at in detail in just a couple of minutes. The prophets were writing of something that was revealed to them by the Spirit of Christ, which we'll look at here in just a moment, of something that they longed to try and understand more of, because it wasn't how it was happening in their time, the way they were writing that it was going to happen in the days to come. They were writing of a complete sacrifice and suffering. Something that was once and for all of God, the Lamb of God Himself. So they were writing of something that was beyond their comprehension, because based on the current system that they were using, it was so, in a sense, foreign to them. Look in that same verse right there. In verse 10, it says, as to this salvation, what he's referring to previously, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come to you made careful searches and inquiries. Why do you think Peter was saying that? I was looking at this and I thought to myself, initially, as I looked at that verse, just on the surface, I said, were these prophets of old trying to research somehow some information, going back and looking over data that they had from before in order to justify what they were writing? Is that what this careful searches and inquiries were about? I don't think so. I think what the careful searches and inquiries were about were more seeking more of the insight from the Holy Spirit of God as to why they were writing what they were writing. God, you've told me to write what I'm going to write and to prophesy, but I don't get it. What are you talking about? Tell me about the who. Tell me about the why. Tell me about the when. I don't understand it. The perspective was limited. And so they're searching and inquiry. And what Peter was doing was saying, he was using what the Old Testament prophets had already prophesied to verify to the people in his day, in the day of the apostle age, to say to them, what we are sharing with you and what we are telling you in 1 Peter, as it were, or what we see now in 1 Peter, this letter, was not a novelty. It wasn't something that they came up with to justify the circumstances surrounding the death of Christ. It wasn't something that they invented on their own. It wasn't a novel concept, just to explain the situation they were in. They were indeed living in an age where they were living out presently in their time what had already been prophesied hundreds of years before that. Hundreds of years. Jesus, whom they had just lived with and had followed for the past 3 years, was killed on a cross. And now they were at a turning point, weren't they? Had Jesus been a normal man and not God himself, his followers, I think, probably would have, in an effort to save face, and protect maybe their reputations, would probably have concocted a story. And they would have gathered up and they would have said, okay, guys, what are we going to do now? Let's have this secret meeting and let's get our story straight. And this is what you're going to write, and this is what you're going to write, and this is how we're going to say it, and this is going to be our story, and we're going to stick to it. Right? And if anybody says anything else, you're sticking to the story and you're not changing it. They didn't have to do that because they realized that what they were living and what they were seeing and what they were experiencing in the ministry of Christ with them and during that time that they were with them was this coming about of the prophecy that had already been foretold. So their perspective was being confirmed. They made careful searches and inquiries. Look at verse 11 with me, if you would. Seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ, what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating. The Holy Spirit of God inspired the prophets of old. The Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit of God, had been with the apostles through the person of Jesus Christ, not in that person, in that aspect, but through Christ, God had been with them during the days of His ministry here. Christ promised that when He left, that He would send a comforter or another, right? His promise obviously fulfilled in them. They were indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, again revealing to them, guiding them, and comforting them. The Holy Spirit of God. The presence of God has not left mankind. Constantly throughout that time is there. The Holy Spirit was inspiring them to write and communicate what they did. They knew that the suffering of Christ and what they had just experienced was a coming about of the prophecy that had already been written before that.